Hey, how are you?
We
item is a resolution entitled organizational meeting of the Cleveland County Planning Commission. Is there a motion to accept those as written? We have a motion to accept the resolution entitled organizational meeting of the Cleveland County Planning Commission for 2015. Do we have a second? Ms. Eager makes a motion. Mr. Zimmer seconds it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0. Next item is the adoption of the planning commission bylaws and rules of procedure. They were in our package. Anybody need any discussion on that, or is there a motion to accept those as written?
I move to accept those as written.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Zimmer, second by Ms. Eager, for the adoption of the rules. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only board actions I have for the board of zoning appeals that January 13th, the early two cases on the zoning permission appeal for the JWS enterprises, so that study was 10. So I'll report on that next month.
Thank you.
And if anybody has any questions about that, feel free to call.
The next item is our first of two public comment sections, which we allow 3 minutes to each speaker. Anyone wanting to come forth and speak about any other item except the items that are on the agenda, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, first public comment section is closed. And next is the approval of minutes from December 22nd, 2014. Item is public hearing. Just ask the question, did we want to change the order since the applicant is here for the DMP and then we could just discuss the zoning, the zoning ordinance?
That's up to you.
Okay. That's okay with the rest of y'all. Okay, item on the agenda now is DMP 1404, Green Spring Timber LLC.
Certainly, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is item DMP 1404, it's a zoning request from agricultural to I-1, industrial general. It's 15.986 acres of tax map 5, section 11. It's also L5A. Again, it's from A1 to I2, industrial general, in the Design Crossroads Community Planning Area near the Louisa County line. There's an adjoining 8.9-acre parcel contiguous to the subject parcel in Louisa County that's not included in this request. Zoning history, there's a boundary line adjustment back in 2007. This is a location overview. You can see the intersections of 15 and 250. It's just southeast. It identified here in bold, bold lines. This is the Louise parcel here, fronting on 250. Same, basically same map, aerial photography. This is a survey of the property. Again, this is a total of 24.915 acres, but they are two separate parcels, and one in Louisa, one in Humana, and two separate zoning classifications. This is a subject parcel, 15 acres, a little more than 15 acres, zone A1. This is the parcel in Louisa. A few site photographs for the commission. This is the existing on-site product storage. And this would be the point of access to the subject parcel. The applicant is planning to gain access to the parcel via Zion Park Drive. So it would be accessed internally, not from 250 and not from 15. Analysis of comprehensive plan, request for zoning from 15.986 acres of tax map 511 L5A. Again, it is located in Zion Crossroads CPA. There's a joint parcel in Louisa, aggregate total of 24.915 acres. Applicant plans on improving parcel of Levana side with a 24,000 square foot building to facilitate storage of his products during the winter months. If zoning is approved, of course, the site development plan will be required, and that is administrative. Comprehensive plan considers this area as very conducive for further development due to its location and proximity to major transportation networks, including 250 and 64. This area is one that should be zoned for industrial and commercial uses, and the county should promote economic development in this area at, along, and near 250 and 15. In conclusion, this request does appear to be in conformance with the county's comprehensive plan. It is in a growth area. Planning Commission should consider how the request does or doesn't align with the goals and objectives of the comp plan. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. And Mr. Dose is here this evening with the applicant.
I think you said that this would be used to store his product in the winter months. I think it's going to be year-round.
I believe that's correct, but I believe part of the, Mr. Dose can correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the motivation for this is to get the product.
I didn't quite hear what you said.
Well, I said that you'll be storing your product year-round in your warehouses, not just in the winter.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. One question I had in the writing about the DMP 1404, like what was first on that, it says over 24.19.
Right.
And I understand the first that it was used and so forth like that. I would just, does that make a difference that it was written like that?
I don't believe so, because we reduced the acreage from 24 to, we didn't say it's any more than what's said. We can't rezone the Louisa side. We did reach out to Louisa County Community Development for feedback. We have some information, just got today, some information, but it's not, again, it's not,
I know,
bearing on our what we're doing.
I know it's the recommendation, right? It's the right,
we're specifically, the request specifically is for 15 and some odd acres of Savannah. I believe the applicant may be meeting with Louisa County staff in the next couple of weeks to discuss options for the Louisa side.
Mr. Turkle, do you know what Louisa is zoned?
Yes, it is zoned C2 according to Mrs. Fincher. discussion on that?
Any more questions? Would the applicant like to speak at this time?
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the planning commission, Mr. Chairman, my name is Dick Dose, and I am one of the owners of Chips Incorporated, and I came to Lincoln County in 1982, and actually started the wood products business there. I had been in the wood products business prior to that, and I came mostly because of its proximity to Route 64. And at that time, I was taking a lot of wood back up into West Virginia to the paper mills, and it was just a good location. When I moved there, Design Crossroad does not look like it does now. I will tell you that. Wasn't much there, I will tell you. There was still a circle there when I came to Design Crossroads. And I was the first one in that that park. Well, it wasn't even this industrial park then, but I think after I came there, they went to the industrial authority, Wayne Ford did, and they got industrial funds money, and they put that road in, and the industrial authority did that. That probably was about 1985, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I've been there a long time. I have approximately 70 to 75 employees. Probably, I haven't taken an actual count, but I would probably be fair to say that probably half of them maybe been to that count in their families. Not even to mention truckers, loggers, and then, of course, our biggest product that we buy is wood, and which we buy throughout Fluvanna County, Louisa, and surrounding Buckingham counties and what have you. So, we employ very many people. And we have been in the wood products business there with Louisa County. We've had good rapport with them, have not had any problems over the years. Northland Forest Products was, I was the first in that industrial park. Northlands came right after I did. Northland sits right to us, behind me, and they would have been on that map that they just showed right there. Anyway, we've sort of been, we're hemmed in by roads. We operate on about 24, 25 acres now. We are constrained by roads all the way around us that really acquired all the property we could, and this property came about, I've been looking at it for years, and Mrs. Webb passed away and her estate sold this, and we bought this property. And what we do, we come back to a corner, in our back corner, we corner this. And what we're going to be doing is just making a boundary line adjustment with Northland Forest Products, and we'll be going right from our property to the corner of this property, and you know, we'll just be building, we're going, almost all of our existing property we work on now is asphalt. And we do come in off of Zion Park Road. Any traffic coming into this particular parcel that we're going to be using would come through Zion Crossroads. And it wouldn't be any more traffic than what's going on there, coming right now. That's a busy road. There's a lot of truck traffic. There's a lot of industry in there. I'm not going to say that there will be any more traffic. What we're trying to do is get more covered storage. And we're in the wood pellet business. We're in the shavings business, big. We supply a lot of shavings throughout the East Coast and towards the Midwest. And we just run into problems keeping that product dry. And that is one of the problems. And then also, I might use it for lumber, too, in some instances. We have a number of lumber sheds on the east end of our property that we've had for years, and they stay pretty packed. And sometimes with the lumber market, it can be volatile and what have you. We would want to hold lumber over, you know, for 3 or 4 or 5 months. And truthfully, we don't have the room to store it right now. So it would just complement us. As far as additional employees, you know, we're always sort of expanding. I would say that yes, it probably would. We would have some additional employees over there, but this would mostly be a storage building. And of course, the zoning that I'm using, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future. I mean, we're a wood products company. We would like to be able to operate over there, you know, one day, just like we do in Louisiana. So I think it's a good fit. Most all the property is surrounded by industrial. We've got our neighbors to the east is Allied Concrete. And now we wrap around Allied Concrete and come out Design Crossroads, and the property connects onto 250. I have spoke with Louisa County, but I don't have any plans as of yet. I need to do a little bit of research on exactly what I'm going to do coming in from 250. But one day, I will access off of 250. I plan on it. Not that I might use it on the parcel that we're talking about in Cleveland County, but I might do something separately there in Louisa. But I really don't have any plans right now, and it's on the wrong route. So having said that, I'm sure you all have questions, and you can go right ahead and go ahead and ask them.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant?
Someone brought up at the meeting at the neighborhood meeting, and that they were worried about screening. And as our code says, section 2233, screening from adjacent businesses and residential shall be required. So I don't think that's a problem, because that would take place in the site plan. Is that correct? So the people who are concerned about that, it's taken care of, right under our site plan.
That's correct. And there's also a fair amount of existing vegetation in the field.
Just leave it, and that would be fine.
Yeah. Would be fine.
Anyone else have any questions?
This may be more of a double. Excuse me, but under I-2, this is just a rezoning I-2 without offering out any potential uses. What are the potential uses in I-2? Well, any that would be a concern.
Yeah, I don't have my ordinance with me, but there's a list of you submitted by right in I-2 and then my special permit. So basically, any new use, in this case, requires a major site on the plan, and that's the one criteria in the ordinance for landscaping, lighting, parking, screening, and so forth. The same goes with any use. Somebody buys a property for some rest of 15 meters, and they have a use that's committed in I-2, not special permit, and then first have to get the successful
regulation
fee, and then get a site development plan for whatever they raise up on the site for after.
I'd like to thank you.
The I-2 district, well, heavy manufacturing, those types of uses, thermal distribution facilities, resource extraction, but my special use permit. The by right uses, lumber yards, lighter stuff, light manufacturing, research labs, sawmills, solid waste facilities, truck terminals, warehouses, things of that nature. This seems to mirror what they're doing.
If you compare that to the I-1, the only thing that really stood out in his type of business was the difference between I-1 and 2. They were pretty much the same, except you were allowed to have a permanent sawmill height in I-2, but not in I-1.
Correct.
But other than that, the same contract storage yards, lumber yards, wholesale warehouses, same in I-1 and I-2.
In heavier manufacturing, it's not a special use for internet.
Any more questions for the applicant?
The one question for the applicant is
pretty much what the county, Fluvada County will allow, and I cannot exceed that, or Louisa County's the same way. And I probably would build a bigger building if I had water. We don't have water, and 24,000 feet is as big as I can go with that sprinkler system, so.
Can you get water from Louisa?
Well, eventually I'll get water from Louisa, but I mean, I'm waiting, I've been waiting for years, and soon as I can get it, I would love to tap into it. I'll be the first one in the park to go ahead and tap into it. We use a lot of water, we use them in the boiler. We have probably about 5 or 6 wells. So, I mean, well, water is important to us, and also for fire suppression, you know. And we would put a watering system in a building like that in a heartbeat if we had the water, but we do not have it, you know. And it's hard to do out of a well. It really is. I mean, you can put it in storage and store 10,000, 15,000, and you know, that probably, I might get you out of a problem, but it's better if you're hooked to a public source where you have unlimited.
What sort of additional uses would we make in the building if you want to just use storage?
Same thing, storage. Absolutely, just storage.
Yeah.
That's just, it would be wood products related.
Right. But is building enclosed building or is it an open building?
Well, this particular building, I probably will leave 3 sides of it will be enclosed, one side will probably be open.
And that's still a shame.
That's more of a building code question.
I'm surprised because it's essentially an open building.
Welcome to our commissioner about as to how what the impact would be on you in terms of, you know, property located in Savannah versus not located in Savannah, and how you would address that.
Well, I don't know how I would address that. That's a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any place where I can go there on the visa and expand, and I'm wanting to expand, you know, into Fluvada County, but I think that it would paying taxes in Fluvada County.
But your business is located in Louisa.
I'm located in Louisa right now, but part of my property is in Fluvada. Okay, but I paid taxes in Louisa.
Were you concerned that because his main building is in Louisa, that Louisa would get the taxes?
It's more of a question. I mean, any property located in Fluvada would be, you know, subject to the taxes. Yeah, it's more.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I don't.
motion by Eager. Do I have a second? Mr. Zimmer, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. It's approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is ZTA 1501, Luvanna County Public Hearing and Zoning Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you have, as you said, ZTA 1501, it's a request to provide for the posting of signs to give additional notice of certain proposed zoning activities. You have the entire ordinance resolution in front of you. This would require applicants for special use permits to provide public notice in addition to the written notice already required by Section 15-2-2204 by placing a sign of a type approved by the zoning administrator on the subject property at the nearest public road or its point of access. And this applies to both public hearings of the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, the governing body. And that is the proposed motion. Basically, this would just, as it says, it would introduce the requirement of signs as a form of public notice to the public hearing process.
You would basically put what we heard in practice into zoning ordinance. You would basically put what we already practice as staff in zoning ordinance.
So the staff would be providing the sign?
We do right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was going to be my question. How does this differ from what we do now?
It just
differs from what's in the code.
It's just not in the code.
Yeah, we had a situation.
So we've been bluffing people.
Well, we had a situation recently where one of the items came up to the board and signs hadn't been posted, so there was a question mark. It should have been posted, not posted. So this is the way to
have to do it. And we're also charging people a sign deposit of $9 without any basis of the code.
Gotcha.
And this should be the thinnest sheet of paper, set of papers you got. Hopefully, it was the top one. It says resolution at the top, and it's only 2 pages long.
The way this is written, I read it that the applicant was responsible for making the sign and posting it. Does anybody else read it that way? Or just
it just says that you'll call the sign to be erected on the property. And I paid the $90 each cost it to happen.
Correct. So take the sign deposit fee. It's refundable after the public hearing.
Okay. The applicant still has to, will you give that sign?
We post the sign. They said we have a sign deposit. And they receive it back after.
So the shall cost sign to be erected is, I give you $90 and my sign is erected.
Correct.
Do I have any more discussion about this? Any more questions? If not, do I have a motion to accept this resolution about the sign ordinance for zoning sign?
I move to recommend the approval of ZTA 11501, request to amend the Luvanna County Zoning Ordinance, Chapter 22, Article 17-4, Special Use Permits, Chapter 22, Article 20-2, Planning Commission Public Hearings, Chapter 22, Article 20-3, Governing Body Public Hearing, to provide the posting of signs to give additional notice of certain proposed zoning actions as described therein.
I have a motion by Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second?
My second.
Mr. Johnson, second. Motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item, I'm listening.
as well as I've been through all that that are available.
That'll be fine. And, you've given us the recent updates, and we'll be discussing more of this in our next work session.
That's correct. Additionally, and I mentioned this already to Mr. Bibb, in front of you all, you have the flood protection proposed ordinance. That would be, I believe, the biggest one. And this is related, of course, to national.
Hold up, we're going to discuss agribusiness.
Okay.
Mr. Payne would like to be here for those discussing the next week or next semester.
Agribusiness is so legally controversial in Virginia these days. That's probably what I want to hear
very much so.
You want that?
That part is the Garrett and that side. I have 10. They're going to allow the production of hemp.
Amazingly, that's the least controversial agribusiness right now. Hemp would be controversial, but it's not right now. I'm prepared to help.
But if you all have any comments or anything in the meantime that Dave's provided, feel free to just call or drop an email.
No, you're fine. As he said, we very much value your input, not just for your experience, but also just for the extra eyes. You know, these are long documents, so if you catch what looks like a mistake, it probably is one, and we'd love to know about it and get onto it. Regarding the flood protection ordinance, this is related to the National Flood Insurance Program and their requirements. So this is based on a model ordinance provided by the Department of Conservation and Recreation. Currently, they are looking at the same document that you've been handed tonight to give us sort of a go-ahead, sign off on it. They express a desire for us to get their approval before it's adopted. And I explained, obviously, that the board would be the one to adopt it. You would just be making a recommendation. Anyway, those two processes are going on at the same time. DCR is looking at it as we were looking at it, and if there are any changes from there, and I'll certainly be updated for you, but hopefully this is pretty close to what they'll approve, and I'll let you know when I hear from them.
And we also have to get this vetted by the Maine's office.
Again,
it's very public hearing.
What areas of the county are subject to flood?
That is an excellent question. This gets pretty technical about it. It's, I believe, in the floodplain. So along the James and the Rivanna, I believe there would be floodplain. And then there's also a floodway. What's that?
Columbia Park.
Yeah, correct. I think maybe a little Palmyra there is one. However, you know, a lot of this is just sort of standard generic that needs to go in all of the localities. We were able to remove quite a bit based on everything about the coastal zones we were able to take out. And you know, it gets into it defines a lot of the issues, and it discusses, you know, elevation, building elevation, and basically gives criteria for what can and can't be approved to still get in the insurance program.
It seems pretty standard that mandates are handed out from the federal government and fully down to us, the UQ, periodically change the language of our rules. Happened at least two times when I was in Indiana, 5 years. So they seem to change the rules quite a bit. And that's why we're going to go down and present the new brother to work.
Thank
you. So is this, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm hoping you've read this better. Does this continue to allow construction in the 100-year flood zone?
I believe it does, according to certain criteria. There's no construction in the flood way, which is the narrower, deeper course. I believe it does. I have to.
I think you'd be subject to stricter building codes.
Right. Okay.
It could certainly be more expensive.
Right.
I
have a lot of familiarity with this. I've lived in more of a front range.
Yeah,
to, you know, 5,000 year floods or something in 4 years. So I had a lot of experience, but I was just curious. And a lot of places there, they just designated no construction. You know, just to kind of be a flood plain. But they have much more crap construction. We've had in a while.
Thank you. circumstances, so there's a lot of people constructing for the same.
The one thing, and I don't want to get into too much detail of it tonight, but it was a new concept that I spoke with DCR about today. First, they were telling me about existing structures in the floodplain areas, and basically what it's going to say with that is any modification or repair resulting in more than 50% of the structure or the market value, that would have to trigger the regulations. And then the next thing, and this is what I found to be pretty important, in this document, variances don't refer to our typical variance process. But when they talk about variances here, it's more related to their criteria, their building criteria and flood safety criteria, as opposed to what we're usually looking at in a variance. And that, of course, is different than the special use permits. So just when you look through it, the term variance, they're referring more to variances to the floodplain regulations than to our normal zoning and planning regulations.
Any other questions?
Is any part of the event other than Scott's help?
Are you following me?